today, what I want to bring is just an encouraging word for all of us. Discipleship is something in our churches and in our lives that should be a constant. Should be something that we're doing all the time. We should either be being discipled or making disciples at all times in our lives and in our churches. You know, sometimes I think we try to overcomplicate what discipleship is and how we go about doing it. You know, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a taker. Somebody that's taking in what God has given to someone else and pouring that into their lives. The scriptures, how to pray, just walking through life. Look, you can do discipleship at McDonald's or someplace better to get a burger. And then a disciple maker is a teacher. So you have a learner and you have a teacher. And discipleship is basically a lifelong process of following Jesus between a disciple and a disciple maker. And I believe that we have a great picture of this in the scriptures with Paul and Timothy. If you would, if you haven't already, 2 Timothy 2. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles. If you have your phone, 2 Timothy 2. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And I believe in this, as you're turning there, I believe in this chapter, the Apostle Paul gives Timothy some counsel and some direction, which may be of great use to all of us as Christians, not just those who spend their lives in full-time ministry. We're going to focus this morning on Paul's words to Timothy and how Timothy is to take care of his ministry as it really related to progression and multiplication. Because as disciples, listen, that's what it's all about. It's about disciples that make disciples. It's about multiplication. Okay? I want to read a couple of verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says this to Timothy, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to just share with friends. God, you know the work that you've done in my life and in many others sitting here, God. But that work is never complete. God, as we leave today, God, as we're here today, God, just show us the importance of walking alongside someone. Walking alongside someone and pouring into them. Walking alongside someone's life and making an impact for the kingdom. Father, I pray over this time. Now open our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we've read the scriptures. If young Timothy was to guard the gospel for the present and the future, he needed to look first of all at himself. You know, Paul in this passage really uses tender language toward Timothy. He says, "My son," and he issued a firm expectation to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And this is only one of many exhortations that Paul gave to Timothy in the course of his two letters to him. Words like these have really kind of led some to conclude that maybe Timothy had a very timid personality. He obviously was not as bold as Paul, but there are other factors to really explain Paul's words. For one thing, Paul thought of Timothy, his younger friend, as his son. And he says that in there. Timothy had left his family to follow the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle felt responsible for him. Also, remember that during this time, it was a very dangerous time for Christians as well. Paul himself was in prison awaiting death. It was only natural that he would be, during this time, especially concerned for Timothy. Paul told Timothy to draw his strength from grace right there in that passage. And generally, we think of grace as in connection with salvation. But listen, church, God's grace strengthens believers for all that life brings. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 that tells us this. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So listen, in all of our lives, God's work of grace, and again, in all of our lives, is a work of in process, okay? God's grace is a work in process in our lives. In other words, we've got to be seeking that from God. We've got to allow God's grace to pour into our lives in every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, in every year. It's a process, but it's also a progress. It's in progress. Because listen, if we're not in tune with Him, how can He work in and through us? If we're not growing in His grace, we don't have that to pour into other people's lives. Because that's what it's all about. Listen, the world needs to see us come alive in Jesus Christ. We've got to be like Him. We've got to strive to be more like Him each and every day. The world expects us to judge them. Think about it. But when we love them, it's kind of unexpected, isn't it? And that's all about God's grace. We've got to pour that into other people's lives. Listen, Timothy was no one-man army. He was one of many that with the same mission. However, Timothy had a key mission. After Paul was gone, Timothy was heir to the gospel that Paul had preached. And Timothy was accountable for sharing what he had heard from Paul in the presence of many witnesses, as we see in this verse. And Paul charged Timothy to commit these truths to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we see a great picture of discipleship right there. Paul's pouring into Timothy, and he's charging Timothy to pour into other people. Now listen, it's a simple formula, isn't it? The simple formula is how Christianity had endured and grown over the centuries. The faith is shared from one person to another person, from generation to generation. Think about it. Ask yourself, who taught you the Bible? Who taught you the Bible? If you're in here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, most likely somebody led you. Who led you to Christ? If you're in here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not only does somebody lead you, I'm hoping that somebody's walked alongside you and helped you grow in your faith. Who was that? I want you to think about those things today with me, okay? I think it's very important for us to understand where we've come from in our walk. Where we are, it's kind of like a testimony, and where we're going. Because listen, there's no time in that time frame, you guys. Listen, I just said you guys. Is anybody going to watch the Indy 500 today? I'm from the Midwest, so I can't wait to get home. But we got about an hour left here, okay? So listen, though, there's no time in our walk that any of that ever stops. And I think that's the problem in our churches. That's probably the problem here. Some of us have stopped. We've stopped growing. We've stopped giving. We cannot stop. You know, I read an article not too long ago about investments and about dividends, about life investments and life dividends. And it really echoed Paul's words to Timothy. The writer talks about a plain bar of iron. And believe you me, this is a bar of iron. I'm a weakling, and I'm about to fall over. This is real. A plain bar of iron, and how it's worth about $5, this plain bar of iron. But if you take this plain bar of iron, and I'll set this here. We're going to use that in a little bit. I promise I won't throw it at any of you all. But if you take that plain bar of iron, and you know, you can get a horseshoe or two out of that plain bar of iron. And then it's worth maybe about $11. Okay, don't get hung up on the dollar value, okay? I promise I'm going somewhere with this. And you can also take that bar of iron and you can make some screwdrivers. Several screwdrivers. And it'd be worth maybe about $15, okay? $15. And I had to kind of put this somewhere where I wouldn't hurt myself. But you know what? If you take this plain bar of iron and you make needles out of it, it becomes worth about $3,500. The writer went on to say that the same is true for another material, and that's you, me. And listen, there's a lesson in that. But remember that iron bars don't just make themselves into horseshoes and screwdrivers and needles. A master craftsperson fashions those iron bars into more valuable items. And the same it has been with your life. Significant people have come into your life and fashioned you into a more valuable person. Just as Paul was used by God to fashion Timothy into a disciple maker. Let's think about those persons this morning, okay? Their investments in your life and the great dividends that you've received. Consider those persons who sought to transform you into something more valuable. So think with me, if you would, just for the next few minutes, okay? Think about maybe a youth pastor or a Sunday school teacher or maybe a spiritual mentor along the way. Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth." Paul told young Timothy this. He said that once you study to show yourself approved and do your best, you learn to correctly teach the word of truth, it says in the back portion of that verse. So think with me for a moment. Maybe those in the church through the years that have invested in you and put you in touch week after week with the one who is the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. People who know the truth, and there's a lot of you in here, and know how to handle it, they're valuable. And listen, these friends of yours have played a very valuable part of who you are on a spiritual level today. They have invested the Word of God and biblical principles into your life. You know, we humans need someone, our Lord, to take our best and to make it better. Our studying is limited, but listen, God is infinite, and that's how God has used these people in your life. God has taken His Word, He's poured it into those people, and those people have poured it into your life. God equipped them to equip you on a spiritual level. So you have your pastors, youth pastors, maybe your spiritual mentor, or Sunday school teacher. What about this? What about your parents? Or what about your grandparents through the years? Or maybe another family member? Listen to what Paul expresses, how he expresses confidence in young Timothy's abilities and faith because of his family. Listen to this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also." So who you are today, to a great extent, is who your parents have fashioned you to be. Remember for a moment some of the investments that your parents or other family members have made in your life on a spiritual level. Maybe through the years of your life, they've provided for you a way to go to summer camp or other events. Maybe it was a revival or a vacation Bible school. Maybe it was some men's conference or some women's conference along the way. It may be that's how some of you here today met with Christ in a real and personal way and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It could be through the years that maybe your parents or your grandparents or maybe another family member brought you to church every single week and had you in an environment where you heard the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis, and at some point you truly realized how much a relationship with Jesus truly matter is a matter of life or death. I hope that through the years that you've had parents and grandparents who have stayed on their faces praying for you and praying with you, as well as pouring the Word into your life as well. Look, your family's important. And, you know, I've always been the one to believe in this. And you know, I'm not this super spiritual leader in my own home. I will admit it. But if we're not doing those kind of things in our home, You know, I've challenged our youth in the back there that some of the things that we do as a youth group, if we're not doing them in our own family, in our own comfort zone, chances are we're not doing them in the world. So the same dads, moms, grandparents, if we're not teaching our kids the way to walk in the Lord, they may never get it. It's got to start in the home. Your dividends are the results of their investments. I want you to keep these people in mind that you've had pour into you through the years, that have invested their lives into yours and guided you on a spiritual level, as we head back to the illustration of the iron. Remember, it takes a master craftsman to fashion things as a horseshoe and a screwdriver and a needle out of this piece of iron. But the same is true for you. God has worked in and through people in your life to help you get to where you are on a spiritual level today. But listen, let's take this to another step. Think of yourself as this bar of iron, okay? Maybe hard for some of you to imagine. You may be hard like it, but think of yourself as this bar of iron this morning. In each of our Christian walk with Christ, church attendance and taking part in church-sponsored activities are all part of what we do to grow in Christ. But listen, just as Paul poured into in his life into Timothy, we're to pour into others as well. So what about you? Do you have somebody that you're pouring into? Are you making disciples right now? What kind of investments have you made in the lives of those around you? You know, our main responsibility as Christians, I believe, is twofold. We're to share the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us, and we're to make disciples. It's about being a giver, taking what others have imparted into us and giving that away to someone else, making an impact in someone's life. And listen, if we're not making an impact in someone's life, why are you here? Why do you claim to be a Christian if you're not touching others? I don't know where I would be if I didn't have somebody that poured into me. So, the challenge begins for this morning. The Lord is more concerned with the people that you impact. The Lord is more concerned of how many disciples that you make. Will you allow God to touch one person's life or many? Just like this bar of iron can make a horseshoe, maybe a couple, maybe a few screwdrivers, and a ton of needles, okay? It matters how you allow the master craftsman to fashion you. Just as the master craftsman fashioned Paul into a disciple maker and Paul poured into Timothy, I want to challenge you this morning to allow him to form you into a needle maker. Be a maker of many disciples. And I'm going to close with this. Listen, some of you in here today are thinking, listen, I have no time to do that. I'm not equipped. My life is not in order. I have too much pain and loss and suffering in my life to be effective and to be used by God. I want to close with this story. Listen to this. Imagine for a moment that the story of your life is lined up on a shelf as though it was captured in those large old school encyclopedia sets. You remember what I'm talking about? Those guys that used to go door to door. Most of the time when my parents bought those, all me and my sisters did was jump off of it. It shows. Think about that, though. Each individual book holds a year of your life, starting with age one. One book for each year. Some of you guys are going to have a big volume, a bunch of volumes on the wall. Some maybe not so much. There are some years of your life you would happily relive over and over because of how precious, amazing, or how good it felt. There were big highs and positive emotions. Then there are others that you might like to forget. The ones filled with hurt, the ones filled with mistakes, wrongs, darkness, and loss. We all have had them. Perhaps you're tempted to take the unfavorable books, those of hardship, those reminders of pain off the shelf and stuff them in a closet somewhere and forget about them. But if we're actively trying to live in the full grace of God, we begin to learn how to accept all of it, even the books that we don't like. When we accept the good times along with the bad ones, this is what happens. We develop an ability to actually see it all as God's cosmic redemption story that He's writing in each and every one of us. Listen, we can't focus on the fixing. We focus on embracing. We don't talk about the problems. We have to seek the truth. We create space for other people's lives. We give dignity to their story. And listen, it all starts with us. That work has to begin in our own hearts before we can pour that into someone else's. We accept every part of our lives. It encourages others to start accepting theirs. And isn't that what it's all about? When we live out the completeness of our own life, we inspire others to embrace theirs. Think about that. Probably as you were thinking about people that have poured into your life, they had to accept what was going on in their lives for you to embrace yours, right? I praise God that certain people in my life never gave up on me. What about you? We are the reminders. We are the acceptors, embodying that every person is worthy of God's love. Listen, church, you were made by the master craftsman. Make yourselves available to be used in a mighty way. His desire for all of us is to be a change agent in this world, to make an impact on a lost and dying one at that. His desire for you is to be a disciple maker. If it weren't that important, why would some of the last words that Jesus says to us in Matthew 28:19 would be, go and make disciples? So again, I challenge you. Are you going to make maybe one or two disciples in your life? Maybe three or four? Or will you make many? I want to encourage you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. You know what? Forget that. I want to beg you this morning. Be a needle maker. Make an impact. Let's pray. You know, when we have invitations in our churches, sometimes it's a time for some of us just to look at our watch and see how close we are to lunch. You know, sometimes people's hearts are really touched and they come forward and they pray. Sometimes maybe people feel that God's calling them to join a congregation. Maybe you're in one of those categories this morning. The lunch thing, just hold tight. But if you need prayer, we're going to be down front. There's something that we can pray for you about. This time is for you, okay? You can do business with God in your pew, that's fine. It's fine with me. As long as it's fine with God. Maybe you're lost and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to learn more information about what it means to be a disciple maker. Well, first you have to become a disciple, and that's where it starts, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what this time is for. There's something that we can pray for you about. Come forward. Maybe it's joining, whatever that looks like. I'm going to pray. Andrew and the team's going to play some music. And that time will be open up for all of us. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for his relationship with Timothy. And thank you for letting us see it in your word. God, now I pray that we'll live it out. Father, give us a desire. Give us a desire to make disciples that make disciples. And God, to take it serious. And Father, it begins with just being real, being authentic, being transparent, open and honest with you first and foremost, and those around us. So I pray that we're exactly that right now. God, open our hearts to what you want to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand as we sing. Take my life.
A sermon like that and not take the opportunity to ask you this question. Maybe you've never been discipled. Look, we have people that can do that, young and old. I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are. We have men and women that can disciple you. So if you need to be discipled, please come see one of our staff. Come see me afterwards. And if you want to make disciples and you're equipped to do so, do the same. Let's be a part of a movement in our church, making disciples. Brother Bill.
Would y'all like to be seated, please? Last few weeks, the Finance Committee has kind of been in the process of rolling out a program to help you be made aware of our church indebtedness. It's called APP, the Awareness, the Plan, and the Prayer. And you've seen some testimonies the last few weeks. We're going live this morning, so this is our live person right here, Ms. Leah Payne, and we are glad for her willingness to share with us. Her husband was my bass foghorn person in the choir, Bruce Payne. And so how long, Ms. Leah, were you and Bruce, when did y'all join First Baptist?
Bruce joined when he was like 12. Because of some girlfriend over here.
Uh-oh.
I think her name was Carolyn Bailey at the time. Some folks would remember Carolyn. And I was joined after he got out of the Army. We moved to Olive Branch, and I joined then, about 1968.
Okay.
Something like that.
Do we need to have another altar call if it sounded like there was some animosity there or something? Okay. All right, I know that if anybody knew Bruce, they knew that he was in the service, and I know which branch, but just so we can say it, tell me what branch.
He was in the Army Signal Corps. He spent 9 months in Vietnam installing telephone systems for the country, for the soldiers.
All right, good deal. A specific thought, a specific example that comes to mind, do you have one, about how God provided for you and for your family?
I don't know that I can be specific. I just know that he was always there. We never were in need. We always had just what we wanted or what we needed. Never wanted. We probably wanted a few things that we didn't always get. But we had a house. We had food. We had good jobs, good children,
Amen.
And a wonderful church.
Amen. I know that I think it was when Bruce retired that he got kind of drafted to be on the accounting team. About how long did he serve on that?
I'm thinking it was like 2005 maybe that he started, honestly, right after he retired somewhere in there. And he was here every Monday that he was in town.
He was always faithful to that, I know. How did he view y'all's participation in programs that we used to have for church indebtedness, like Possessing Our Possessions or all of those various programs that we've used to help reduce debt through the years in relation to the general budget given?
Bruce always believed in giving above the tithe for the Possessing Our Possessions, whatever we started with way back.
Right.
I can honestly say we probably didn't always believe that we needed as much as the church thought we did when we were building something, but he never missed a Sunday of giving and supporting it. That's what we've always done. I can't really remember a time that we didn't tithe and give above. Special offerings when there's been a need. The roof is probably the most recent thing that I think of. We were always willing and able to help out there.
And we greatly appreciate that roof this morning, especially with all that rain we had. Well, in closing, if there's one thing you could tell maybe young couples that were struggling with tithing, what would it be?
You can't always start out fresh on a new job giving 10% of your gross income. I understand that. We've all been there and done that. But if you can start giving and give on a regular basis, increase that, then at some point in time, God's going to bless you and provide the funds for you to give your a tithe and an offering when available, when you can. Bruce always felt like we could not give God. God's always giving for us, and we don't always thank him for what he's given us. Just the fact that we can be here standing up, breathing today. I would also say that to encourage people who have young children, start young, teaching them to give. If you give them an allowance, teach them to tithe out of that allowance. If they're old enough to have a job, teach them that God gets a portion of that. And that's a biblical commandment. It's not something you as a parent are saying you have to do. It's something God tells us to do.
Would you help me say thank you to this lady for coming up this morning? The men that are going to help us receive our offering, if you would come and get in place, we'd appreciate it so much. And I appreciate what she said, and you can't outgive God. He has given and given and given, and we thank him for that. But we have this opportunity now to give back to him. Let me pray for us, and then we'll receive our offering. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your word and how it's been shared with us today. And now, Father, as we return a portion of what you blessed us with back to you, help us, Lord, to give generously. Help us, Lord, as we consider the church indebtedness, to be able to pray over what you'd have us to give to that, and help us to give over and above to that. Thank you, Father, for these folk. I thank you for how you have blessed us through these years. Now, Lord, bless this offering, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to FBCOB News for May 28, 2017. Vacation Bible School is only 1 week away. Early registration is now open online. VBS is June 5th through 9th, 9 a.m. to noon, and open to the whole community. Visit fbcob.org/VBS to sign up today. All middle schoolers are invited to a week of fun, time in God's Word, and reaching out into the community. Middle School Takeover is the same week of VBS, June 5th through 9th, from 9 a.m. to noon, and is unique and set apart just for students who have completed 6th through 8th grades. Visit fbcob.org/VBS to find out more information and register online today.